Good morning, Cross Point Church. Thank you so much, Pastor Mike. Doesn't he do a fine job, folks? Pastor Mike does a great job. Welcome to Cross Point. My name is Pastor Brad Myers. I am the lead pastor, and I have the privilege, we've heard this before, right, to pastor the greatest church in the United States of America. And that's because we have the greatest people. Thank you for coming into the house today. If you're watching online, thank you so much. Facebook, YouTube, the podcast that we put out this past week, and the one to come on the message for each Sunday morning. You can download your podcast app from the Apple store or the, Android, right? You can do that. You can listen in. You also can follow along this morning, church, with your sermon notes. If you scan the QR code that's in your bulletin, you can see the little representation there on the screen, but there's a QR code, and I think sometimes they put it on the live stream, so if you're on the live stream, you can look at that and scan that QR code and follow along. We are, a few weeks away from Easter, as Pastor Mike talked about. Easter at Cross Point is coming up, so keep an eye on that. We want to bring as many people into the house, but more importantly, folks, we want to bring as many people into the kingdom as we possibly can. And Easter is the Super Bowl of Sundays, right? It is the Super Bowl of Sundays, so we celebrate our risen Savior. Doesn't that make you excited? Yes, it does. That makes me excited. Hey, we are concluding today the series that we have been in called Thoughts, right? That's something that we've been talking about for 3 weeks. Today will be the fourth week, and we will conclude the series today. Now, I see quite a few people in the house today that I have not seen, so let's do a review, and maybe online that you have not been able to join us here for a week or so. So let's do a quick review of where we've been on our series, right? We have been in week three, heading into week four today. An impact in us, an impact in other people requires us to change our thoughts, the way we think, you know, especially in today's day and age, right? We have to do things so much differently than what we did in the past. And the first week we talked about the theme was, I'm thinking. And the question I proposed was, are you thinking like God? And then we would ask, well, how does God think? And we talked about that on that day, because the first thing that Jesus preached when he launched his public ministry was teaching us how to think. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit deeper today. We started with this series on Jesus' launching his public ministry and how we think, and we're going to end it today on that. Three ways that we think differently from God. We think short term, God thinks long term, big picture. We think comfort, desire, and success. God thinks about love, sacrifice, and service. We think what's in it for me. God thinks what's in it for him, right? The world always talks about us. And in our selfie, you know, age that we're in with the social media and taking pictures of ourselves, and even more and more and more emphasizes that it's about us, right? The second week, we talked about what's on your mind. Church, what's on your mind today? Now, what's on your mind is not in the Bible verbatim, but it's a kind of like a all-encompassing phrase that every time God would ask or Jesus would ask somebody a question, it was wrapped around what's on your mind. What are you thinking? Or what are you thinking? How could you be thinking that, right? It's always wrapped around thoughts. We talked about that. The first one was in Genesis 3:9. Adam had sinned. God comes into the garden and says, where are you? What is on your mind? What are you thinking? He wasn't talking about location. He was talking about your thoughts. God wants to know what you're thinking. Of course, God knows what you're thinking. God wants us to confess what we're thinking and think about what we've been thinking about. Start thinking about it. What's your thoughts? Right? We talked about that on that particular Sunday. We talked about how our emotions affect our thoughts. Right? The men, the women, how we feel alters how we interpret situations, what we're thinking about, thought process. is talking about those types of things. We moved into last week with this concept of I thought. I thought this, or I thought that. That means I believed it, I assumed it, I see it this way. It's in the Bible, over 100 references to people's thinking, how they think, what are they thinking about. And the phrase I thought shows up a lot. Now, it might not say the two words I thought, but it's referencing how a person is thinking. Remember Jonah? I thought Nineveh didn't deserve mercy. We're going to talk about that today. A little bit deeper and a little bit different. Okay? Peter says, I thought I would never deny Jesus. And of course, he denied him three times. King David said, I thought the anointing would mean instant success. When he was anointed to be the next king, he thought it would be instant success. No, you're going to be king, but go back into the field. You got a little bit more training to do. And that training took a lot of years, right? We talked about Naaman last week. I thought my healing would look different. Remember, he went looking for the healing? When he found it, it didn't look the way he thought it was going to look. And he almost missed it. He almost missed it because he was looking for healing this way. And God said, no, I've got it this way. But you've got to go through the process. You've got to go down to the river and dip yourself in that river, that murky kind of muddy water of the Jordan River seven times. And when you do, I'll clear your leprosy right up. You'll be great. I don't want that. Remember that story? Give me one of the other rivers, like up in Damascus, that have this clean water that flows from the mountain. I'll go there. I don't want you to go there. But he did. Why did he? Because he had some good people around him that egged him on and said, why not go? Remember the story? Just go. Just go down, to, you know, and he did. Not once, twice, but all the way to seven times, and he was cleansed of leprosy, right? And we talked about that. See, I thought is a predetermined outcome. Like, I thought it was going to, we are thinking something's going to happen like that. But victory comes when we trade the I thoughts for God said. So that means to go from I thought to God said, we've got to have what we call a change of mind. Today, we are going to conclude the series on the title, Change of Mind. Now, some of you are sitting here and watching online. There's no way this guy is going to change my mind. Now, I'm going to ask you this morning to be open to a change of mind, right? Be open to a change of mind. Now, I don't know if you know this name, but there's this guy. His name was Steven Crowder. He was a commentator. Back in 2018, he did something very unique that has become a national phenomenon. He went to Texas Christian University. He made a sign. He made a sign that said, male privilege is a myth. And he put the sign at a booth on that college campus, sat behind it, and said, male privilege is a myth. Prove me wrong. And boy, did that go viral, if you know anything about social media. And to this day, today, this is a thing. It's called the Change My Mind Movement. And you see it all through social media, folks. If you're on social media, you see it. People sit on college campuses with a sign. It's gotten so big, they'll put a sign there with some question. Prove me wrong. That's a challenge. For somebody to come up and debate that issue and prove me wrong. And you know some of the things that have been out there, probably. If you're on social media, some of those things have been really unique, especially during the political season. All through college campuses, these people are sitting at these desks or these tables with these signs, and it says, prove me wrong. And that just solicits a lot of conversation. And maybe even some uprisings on some of our college campuses. It's a challenge to prove me wrong. Now, you got to ask yourself, do they really believe that? Or is it just to get people thinking? To change their mind. You can't change my mind, Pastor. There ain't no way. you can't do it. I'll let God decide, right? It's a challenge to get people to change their mind. It is the exact scenario Jesus encountered when he launched his public ministry. Everybody thought this way. And some believe certain things in the law and all this stuff. And this guy shows up and he's going to change the way they think. Why? Changing the way they think would change their mind. Right? Change your mind today. There's no way you're going to change my mind. God is in the changing mind business. He is in the changing mind business. Why did Jesus encounter that? Matthew 4:17 says, from the time Jesus began to preach, we've used the scripture. We launched the series on this scripture. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? We're going a little bit deeper today. That repent word in Greek, it means metanoia. Now, I didn't say I'm annoying you. I said metanoia. It's a Greek word. What does that word mean? It means change of mind. That's what it means. So Jesus comes and he says, listen, I'm going to change the way you think. Really, he's saying metanoia. I'm going to change your mind. I'm going to give you the opportunity to change your mind because you're ingrained in this thing, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to change your mind. It also means to turn your life around. Turn around. So it's like change of mind to turn you around. And Jesus comes and says, listen, I'm going to change your mind, give you the opportunity to change your mind. Metanoia, Greek word. I'm going to give you the opportunity to change your mind and turn around. Church, I'm going to give you the metanoia word today. I'm going to give you the opportunity to change your mind and turn your life around. It's an open invitation. But you still decide if you want to go down that road, right? So he wasn't talking about emotions. He's not talking about what we talked about in the last few weeks when we use that word. It's not like you're such a bad person. You're going to go to hell if you don't do all these things. And metanoia, you got to change. He's not coming saying, I'm just trying to get you to think different. The Holy Spirit will take care of the rest, right? All this tradition built into each and every one of us, where we're raised, how we're raised, you'll see that today. You'll see all that today, right? It's not emotions. But think about today, church, the modern church, like you and us today, right? We're so mood-driven in churches throughout the world. Like the modern church, it's mood-driven, right? We want to be moved. It's mood, M-O-D. We have this mood. It's emotion, right? We talked about that. It's mood-driven. It's motivational push. Why do I know that? Because studies say when you leave church, you're saying things like, man, he just didn't move me today. The pastor just wasn't on. Just didn't motivate me. Some of the largest churches in our country and in the world are on the motivational theme. They want to be moved. They want their mood to change. They want more peace. They want more, and they want these messages to motivate them and make sure they walk out. And we call that the feel-good movement. I want to feel good. If I feel good in church, I went to church. Well, there's some truth to that, right? You want the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's more about conviction than he is about making you feel good. He's more about metanoia. I'm going to change your mind. I'm going to turn you around. You're on the wrong path. I'm going to turn you around. I'm going to get a hold of you, and I'm going to disrupt your thinking. And that's what Jesus came out to do. Jesus died to change your mindset. He didn't die to change your mood. He died to change how we think, right? So what is this mindset? Mindset is the way you have been trained, training yourself to see, think, and respond to the world around you. Train yourself. It's your mental lens. It's how you interpret life and people and pain and yourself, and you even use this mindset to interpret God. Let me give you an example. Everybody's got a cell phone, right? And many today carry the dumb phone. No, the smartphone, right? Right, the smartphone. Like, we're like really into our phones. Like, I'm a tech guy. I love tech. I'm an older pastor. I'm up to 50 now. And so, you know, I'm not 50. I think I am. Yeah, Mike says, you're pushing past 50, right? But I still carry a smartphone. I like technology, right? And I know many, if not all of you, probably have a smartphone, right? If you're watching online, you're already into some device or ability to get to the broadcast, right? And we have these things in the smartphone called default settings, right? Mm-hmm. We got a default setting in there. You get your phone, you unpack it, it's already defaulted to a mindset. Now, you've got more bells and whistles on those phones today, you can change it to whatever you want, right? But I'm going to tell you something. Every time you reset that phone or restore that phone, what happens? It's back to the default mindset of the phone. It's ingrained in there. And it takes some time and effort to adjust all those settings. But it always goes back to the default settings if you restore or reset the phone. And we don't like that. We start all over again. And Jesus came to change the default mindset in our minds, that it wouldn't go back, that we would realize that we want the metanoia, we want to have a change in our life. Why? To turn us around. See, folks, there's some of us that hold a sign. We may not be on a college campus, but we're holding a sign in front of us every day. And the signs read like this: I'll never be more than what I've become. Prove me wrong. Change my mind, right? Some of us wear one that says, just who I am. Challenge me, it's just who I am. Change my mind, can't do it, it's just who I am, right? Some wear a sign that says, I'm just too old to change. Pastor, I'm just too old to change. Prove me wrong. Change my mind, but I'm just too old. God's not going to use me. I'm too old. Or this one. Some of us wear the sign that says, I'm just too set in my ways. Prove me wrong. I'm not going to change. I'm just too set in my ways. How many times have we heard that one, right? God doesn't use people like me. Change my mind, right? Prove me wrong. God's just not going to use people like me. He's not. He'll use that guy. He'll use the pastor. He'll use the associate, he's not going to use me. And then he puts the challenge, or she puts the challenge, prove me wrong. Isn't this the way? Look at my life, right? God's not going to use it. Hasn't used it yet, right? God doesn't use people like me. What about this one? I've always been this way. Change my mind. Prove me wrong. I've always been this way. See, we dare anyone, even God, to change our mind. Anybody. We'll even go to God. God, change my mind. Make me different. Come on, God. I got this metanoia word here for repent. Are you willing to go down that road? I'll change your mind, right? Our lives rise or fall on our thoughts, church. What we feel, though, is really powerful. But our thoughts are foundational. They're defaulted, they should be. If the enemy can keep us thinking the same way, he doesn't care how loud we worship. If he can keep you right here and get you not thinking, if he can keep you right here and you're not even interested in a mind change, a metanoia, you don't care. You're like, prove me wrong, make something, I'm not going to do it. If he's got you there, he doesn't care how loud you worship in church on a Sunday morning. He doesn't care because there's going to be no change in you. You are ingrained in a default setting. I'm not changing, Pastor. Mm-mm, no way. I'm not doing it. Why? I like the way I am. But maybe God wants to change you to something better. You don't know what the change is because you're not willing to change. We're not willing to get there. God's got something better, but you're not willing to make the transition of change. And there's people in the Bible like that. We'll talk about them today. Albert Einstein even understood it. The measure of intelligence is the ability to change your mind. And notice what he said. I came across that quote. I thought, oh, that's great for today. Because it says the ability to do it. That means mindset to do it. I am willing not to stand there or sit there with a sign that says, I can't change. Prove me wrong. Willingness is to change. So when you come into church on Sunday mornings or you tune into the broadcast, you're saying, I'm willing to listen and change my mind. Because we don't come into church just to sit there, right? We come in with the attitude of expectancy that God's got something for us today. Church, God's got something for you today. Are you willing to change your mind? When the Holy Spirit starts tapping you on the shoulder, are you willing to make a change? You ever notice that if you're not willing to make a change, God taps you harder? You're going to see that today in the scripture. He really taps you harder. He really starts to rattle you a little bit, right? If nothing changes, nothing changes. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Like we're sitting here today watching online and we've got all these situations in our lives. If nothing changes, nothing changes. I know some testimonies in this church the last few weeks that they made a change and it changed. I say hallelujah, God. Because you've got to be open to change to get to the change and what God has in store for you, right? You've got to be willing. You know, here's some thoughts, speaking of thoughts for pastors. You know, we talk a lot, right? Pastor Mike and Christine and Nicole and Amber, our children, you know, we talk in the church. We talk outside with other pastors, right? And other lead pastors talk. And I'm on many Facebook groups with lead pastors throughout the country, right? And I read about them, and we talk. And, you know, one of the topics is this. You know, when we talk on a Sunday morning, do we talk really deep, or do we talk more practical, or a little mix of each, you know, right? And I admit to you, I'm a more practical application pastor. Why? Because when you leave, if I talk so deep, and you leave on a Sunday morning or turn off your broadcast, and you say this, I have no idea what he said. I have no tools to apply that to my life, right? So if we're doing these deep studies on a Sunday morning, you leave, I don't know what to do. Can't change anything there, right? So yeah, I like more of a practical application model. Another pastor said, I want them to know that I know the word. I don't care. You know, I want to make sure that the people leave or turn off the broadcast and they have something to use because 49% of you don't use it when you leave and then get to a Monday morning. So I got 51% of people that walk out and say, I'm going to use that tool. If you don't understand it, you can't use it. If you don't understand it, it can't change anything. Because you don't know how to apply it, right? I want them to leave and say, I've got a tool, so I'll teach more practical application. Why is that? Because I hear people saying, I'm not going to change. I've got to give you something to change. I've got to give you something on a Sunday morning. This is how it works in the scripture. That's what we'll do today. And I hear all the time, again, I'm not going to change. Where's the evidence? I got to give you evidence, right? So I've got to give you evidence on a Sunday morning that says, here's what the scripture says. And this is how it applies to your life. Look what God did in the Bible. He's certainly going to do it for you and I today, right? What about Peter? Peter was a good Jew, right? He had a default mindset, Peter. Simon, Jesus changed his name to Peter. The rock, the Bible says. You're my rock. Rock. That's right. My fortress. But he's Jewish. Jesus came for everybody, not just Jewish people. But Peter's got a mindset. He's got a mindset that he is Jewish. He was raised Jewish. He feels that there's some people that are unclean and other animals that are unclean and vice versa, right? There's clean and there's unclean, and I'm going to, you know, the Jewish it was taught to me that certain animals are unclean. I can't eat those animals. And other ones, okay, I'm allowed to eat. And I'm staying right there. That's my mindset. It's my default mindset. Now, Peter ate with the sinners, with Jesus, right? He dined with the sinners. He talked to Samaritan people. You know, they didn't get along too well, but he did. Jesus is going to do it. I'm going to do it, right? But he had a mindset. He had a default mindset. I'm Jewish. Jewish are my people, right? They're my people. Say my people. They are my people. But Jesus wanted him to go beyond his people. Jesus wanted to change his mindset. So God divinely interrupts Peter's mindset. Divinely interrupts it. Don't believe me? Let's jump to Acts chapter 10, 9 through 14. Peter and a few are out preaching about Jesus, right? He's a preacher. He's a Jewish preacher, right? How about that? I'm a good Jewish preacher. It's Peter, right? I'm going to go out and preach. God doesn't want you just to preach to the Jews. He wants you to preach to the Gentiles as well. Ooh, wait. Whoa, wait. I'm Jewish. There's some people that are clean and animals that are clean and some that are not. And Jewish people are going to minister to the Jewish people. God says, Jesus wanted us to go beyond those boundaries. I got to change that guy's mind. Now, Peter hung out with Jesus, right? He was appointed. He was anointed. He was there with Jesus' ministry. He was there when he was crucified. He denied him. He knew about the resurrection, right? And then he's going out to preach. Peter was a preacher. The day of Pentecost, he's preaching, right? Now he's going out to preach. But he's got this mindset that he was raised Jewish, Acts 10, 9 through 14. So about noon the following day, as they were on their journey approaching the city, Joppa is the city, right? Joppa is a city back in ancient times. He's heading there, right? He's going to preach, okay? He's heading out. Peter went up on the rooftop to pray. Now he's Jewish. That means he has to pray morning, noon, and evening. Man, don't you wish we had those rules now? Pastor says we got to pray morning, noon, and evening. He even knocks on the door to make sure we're doing it, right? So he's going up on the rooftop. I got to pray because I'm Jewish and I'm going to go pray. So he does that, right? Good Jew. He became hungry. God knows what to do. Man, watch this. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. He's on the roof, right? And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. God's going to use hunger for the revelation that's coming. Isn't that cool? God knows your weak spots, you know. He gets up on the top of that roof to pray, and he gets hungry, and he smells the food being prepared, right? He's smelling it. He says, I'm even more hungry. God puts him in a trance. Like the semi-sleep thing, right? So he sees heaven open, the Bible says, and something like a large sheet, it's big, folks, okay, being let down to earth by four corners. So you can see it's huge. This is called the vision of the sheet. Peter is on the rooftop. He's watching this come down. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals and some reptiles and birds. Some clean, four-footed, some of them, and reptiles and birds, most not clean, can't eat those. Some, but not most. We got them both on this sheet. We got lots of them coming down to see Peter, who's really hungry, right? Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. I'm giving you as much as you want. And Peter, being the good Jew that he is, surely not, Lord. Why? Because some on the sheet are unclean, and I'm a Jew, and I'm a good Jew, and I'm not going to kill them and eat them because I'm not allowed. Mindset. Right? I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The contradiction of the mindset of heaven and the contradiction of a mindset of Peter show up. Church, not and Lord aren't the same thing. Surely not Lord. You can't use not and Lord in the same sentence. When God says, here it is, you can't come back and say, half of it's unclean. When God delivers something to you to change your mind, and he says, here it is, I'm going to give it to you, you can't come back and say, half of it's unclean. Why? God's not going to give you unclean. God's going to give you clean. God's handing it to him. Why? He's hungry. But God knew exactly how to disrupt Peter's mind and change a mindset. Change a mind, right? They don't go together, clean and unclean. But he's presented with this opportunity to kill and eat. God says, kill and eat. Church, I'm going to tell you something. You probably figured it out. God says, kill and eat. What do? You kill and eat. If there's this large sheet coming down from heaven, and you're on the rooftop being a good Jew, and you're praying along, and this big sheet's coming down, the vision of the sheet, and it's coming down by all four corners, and there's all kinds of animals, and this thundering voice from heaven says, Pastor Brad, kill and eat. You're hungry even. I'm killing and eating. Unless I'm a really good Jew. And I question God, because God's trying to test me a little bit and get me to understand something. Let's move on. He's trying to change his mindset. So God speaks again in Acts 10:15. He says, the voice spoke to him a second time, to Peter. Do not call anything impure that God's made clean. You may think they were unclean, but there's the animals now, and I'm telling you, I've made them. I've made them clean. What's he trying to tell them? This wasn't about diet. Amen. That's right. It wasn't about destiny, church. It wasn't about animals. It was about access. Access to who? Gentiles. Amen. Amen. It's about access to Gentiles, non-Jews. I want you to change your mindset. I want a change of mind. I want you now to preach to Gentiles. The same vigor, the same power, the same thing you do with Jews, your people go out, cross the boundary, and head to the Gentiles because I'm sending you there. And I want you to do it. I want you to change your mindset. I have selected you, Peter, for such a time as this. I've given you this sheet to make you understand. I'm making them clean, and I'm sending you out to preach to them for repentance, for metanoia, a change of mind. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you so much. God was preparing Peter to welcome the Gentiles into the kingdom. See, sometimes God gives us a vision that disrupts our thought process. It doesn't match our tradition. It doesn't match our default settings, but it matches God's will. Some of us are in the same place, spiritually sincere, but mentally stuck. I'm a Jew. I can't go over there. I can't do that. God wants me to go. He's given me this big vision to show me it's good. We've inherited ideas, biases, and limitations that don't align with God's will. So then we're faced with a situation, church. Do we go and trust God because he says, I've made them clean. You're good to go. I want you to go. Or do we sit back and say, my default settings say I can't do it? Tradition meets revelation. That's what happened there. Tradition meets revelation in Peter's head, right? What's he do? He sent out to the house of Cornelius. Wait, if you know anything about the scripture, Cornelius isn't Jewish. God's going to send him there anyways because God's got a disruption of his mind going on in his mindset. I'm sending you over there. And we'll pick up the scripture in Acts chapter 10, 28. He said to him, you are well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with and visit with a Gentile. It's just not right. But God has shown me. That means it's a disrupted thought going on. His mindset is shifting. I should not call anyone impure or unclean because the kingdom of heaven is available for everybody. It's available for everybody. We're going to impact everybody, not just Jewish people, but we're going to impact Gentile people. We're going to do it all. And he had to get in there. God had to get into Peter's mind, his default settings, and say, listen, but you have to be willing to change your mind. You got to be willing, because you're not going to see the events in the future that I have for you unless you're willing to at least explore changing your mind here. You're not going to get there, right? He sends him to the house of Cornelius. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. Peter's mindset shows up in Acts 10, 34 through 35. Then Peter begins to speak. He's hanging out with the Gentile. I now realize. God had a plan for me. I now realize I had to go there, but I had to go through this to get there. Right? I now realize disruption of his mindset shows up. How true it is that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. I change my mind. Change of mind brings power. Acts chapter 10, 44 says, when Peter, while Peter, was still speaking these words, he's out preaching, remember? Now he's got a disrupted mindset. Now he's changed. He's completely different. I'm going to go out to the Gentiles. And I was in the house of Cornelius. I'm still going to preach, but now I have some new audiences. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. That's all the people he's preaching to. It's the same Spirit that showed up at Pentecost, that poured out God's power at Pentecost. That same Spirit showed up there, and now he's preaching to a new audience. Now there's a change of mind going on. Now he can change other minds. Why? Because his mind got changed. Now I can change other minds because I changed my mind. If he wouldn't have changed his mind, all those people would never gotten preached to by Peter. Because he had to have a change. That's you and I, folks. If we don't change our mind today, some people aren't going to be reached. Some people won't be impacted in our year of impact, 2025, because we got to change our mind. They are worthy of you going and talking to them. They are worthy, right? God doesn't just want us to always change our minds, right? Pardon me, change our situation. He wants to change our minds. See, we pray to change the situation all the time. We're always praying to change the situation. I'm going to challenge you today. I'm going to wear the sign that says, I challenge you to change your mind. Right? Change your mind. You change your mind, your situation will change. Peter changed his mind. His whole situation changed. He became a preacher to all people. Let me talk about Jonah. Yeah, we love the story of Jonah, right? We've talked about it. We grew up learning the story of Jonah. Pastor, I know the story. Don't tell me the story again. We're going to go beyond the story a little bit today as we wrap up. We're going to go beyond the story. God calls Jonah to head to this place called Nineveh. Oh, a wicked city, right? The Assyrians, yeah, that's just bad. And he tells him to go there and preach repentance and restoration. I don't think they deserve it, God. I'll go. But then he ducks out the back door, right? He hops a ship heading to Tarsus. He's at Tarsus. He's out of there. That's a region. It's not a city, but it's a region. You don't know much about it. But we know this. The Bible says it's the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. He hops a ship and he's heading out there to the industrial region, right? So he's heading out there, and you know what happens, right? He's on the ship. The big storm comes. It's going to rock. It's rocking the boat. The Bible says it's going to capsize, and he finally, he screams out, it's me. I'm the problem. Throw me overboard, right? Tells all the people, just get rid of me, and you'll get rid of the problem. I'm the problem. I'm running from God. They take him. They throw him off the side. And then we know the big fish shows up, right? Ah, oh, this is the great story. The big fish shows up, swallows him, right? He goes in the belly of the fish, right? I know you want to say whale. It's fish, right? He goes in the belly of the fish. It's big because he's in there, right? What does he do in the belly? The Bible says he repents. God leaves him in the filth of the belly for 3 days. I want you to change your mind. I think it's going to take you 3 days in there. I don't care if you repented right when you got in there. You were just afraid. It'll make you stay about 3 days. Let's see if you're still repenting after the third day. He is. He's still repenting and praying. God, get me out of here. The Bible says the fish vomits him onto dry land. Okay, if that all happens to your folks, you're heading down the Nineveh. Right? Okay, God, I'm out of here. You got my attention. So he heads down to Nineveh. It's a little bit of a, you know, just a little bit of a drive, right? Right? He puts the cruise on. He sits back. I'm heading to Nineveh. He doesn't want to go, but he's repenting. I'm going to go. I'm going to go preach in Nineveh, and I'm going to preach repentance. I'm going to preach what God told me to preach. I'm heading to Nineveh. I'm going to go down there. So he goes down there, and they're wicked people, right? Assyrians, they're wicked. They're bad. They're all bad. He would just rather God just blow up the city. That's what it says. I don't even want. They're not worthy, but he's repenting of what he was doing. But it didn't necessarily say he still wanted to go down there. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to do it. God told me to do it. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going down there. So he starts preaching repentance. These people aren't going to change their mind. The Bible says they're not going to change. And all of a sudden, the Bible says they start changing their minds. And the more he preached, the more they changed. The more he preached, the more he changed. And he's starting to change minds, and they're repenting. The Bible says they repented. They prayed. They are starting to be restored. You know, God's just happy because that's what God wanted in the first place. And he's like, I can't believe it. They're actually doing it, right? You just want to grab Jonah sometimes and just give him one of these. That's what God said. Can't believe it, though. He's kind of angry, folks. The guy is mad. So let's go to Jonah 4, 1 through 11. But to Jonah, this seemed really wrong. They all repented. They're all getting better. Man, can't believe it. He became angry. People are getting saved and repenting. Metanoia, changed mind, turning them around. And he's mad. He prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to foretell by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and very compassionate, the Bible says, right? Slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. I know this. I'm still mad now. I know this is who you are. I'm still mad. Now the Lord, take away my life. Just kill me now. I'm just I can't, I just so angry. Just kill me now, God. How many have said that, right? God, just take me now. Now the Lord, take my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. I'm mad. I can't believe this happened. I'm just so angry. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Why is anger on your mind? Why is your mindset anger? Look at what's going on here. This city has got over 100,000 people. Now you're there preaching and they're getting saved. Why can't you be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. Okay, he leaves town. Now, let me show you something. He leaves town to think about this. What is he doing? I'm thinking. Just like I preached a few weeks ago. I'm thinking. It's exactly what goes on here. I'm thinking. What's he doing? Processing thoughts. A lot's gone on here. I still stink like a fish. And I'm sitting on the edge of town. These people are getting saved. There's a revival going on down there, and I'm looking down there, and there's people's minds changed. He's mad. He's up on the hillside looking down, thinking. You know what he's thinking? I thought what I preached last week. That's exactly what he's thinking. I thought that I was just going down there to preach, but they weren't going to get saved. They weren't going to repent. Metanoia. They're not going to change their mind. That's what I thought. And they did change their mind. And now I'm angry. Can't believe it. Because I thought they wouldn't do it. And this was a waste of my time. But God had a different plan. There he made himself a shelter, sat in it, its shade, and waited to see what would happen in the city. I'm thinking, my thoughts. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant. He made it grow up over Jonah to give him that more shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. It's hot. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. God made a plant grow instantaneously, folks. I want that in my backyard, right? Slide in under there on a hot summer day. God just gives me this plant, shade me. Get my glass of iced tea. Turn on the Guardians baseball game. I'm good. I don't care what's going on down that city. I've been down there. I preached already. I'm good. He's hanging out. under the shade that God provides. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm. And that worm chewed the plant, so it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. See, I told you it was hot. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head, so he grew faint. That's how hot it was, right? He wanted to die. Again, he wants to die. He said, it would be better for me to die than live. Kill me now. I just want out. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Why? Why are you now angry? You're angry about the people who repented, and now you're angry at the plant. I gave it to you. I take it away. You're still angry. What do I got to do to change your mind? Right? It is, he said, and I am so angry. I wish I was dead. So angry. It's like a lot of us do that. We're so angry. I wish we were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant. Right? You're concerned. Though you did not tend to it or make it grow. You didn't water it. I gave it to you free. It grew instantaneously, but you didn't do anything to take care of it. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. You did nothing. And should I not have a concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there were more than 120,000 people? I told you, it's a big city. Who cannot tell their right hand from their left. And also all those many animals, they're a wreck down there. See, Jonah knew God's voice, but he didn't know God's heart. See, he repented in the belly of the whale because he didn't do what the voice of God told him to do. But he still hadn't changed his mind on what he was doing and why he was there. I'm mad. Kill me now. See, you can have a call on your life, but you still need some correction along the way, right? The pastors need correction. The leaders need correction. The staff needs, we all need some correction. Why? We need a change of mind. He did what he was told to do, but he didn't have a change of mind of why he was doing it. But he sat there watching it, and it was great, and God was pleased. All those people were getting saved, folks. Put that in your mind's eye right now. All those people were getting saved, and the guy that preached to them and got them saved is up on the hillside, mad they got saved. Who didn't get a change of mind? Jonah needed a change of mind. Because all the people got a change of mind, but he was still mad and says, just kill me now. God gives him a plant to give him shade. Why? To let him think about it a little bit longer. Got to think a little bit more. I thought. I'm thinking. What did you say, God? I don't know what to do from here. God takes away the plant. I'll just let you sit in the hot sun. You're not taking care of it anyways. You have been concerned about the plant, though you didn't do anything to tend to make it grow. And should I not have a concern for this great city, in which there is more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left or their animals? Then it goes to Jonah 4:2. Let's go back. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God. So he knew. Slow to anger, abounding in love. He's not changing his mind about the people, even though he knew God's voice. He knew, but he's not changing. See, sometimes, church, we struggle to align our thoughts with God's thoughts. And this series is all about changing our thoughts. God is more concerned with your mindset before he uses your giftings. He wants to make sure your thoughts are in the right order. So God starts to question Jonah's mindset. Jonah 4:10. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about that plant, though you did not tend to it or help make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. What did you do in the middle of that? You were the benefit of it, but you did not take care of it. It's a powerful representation of God trying to get him to change his mind. See, God's mercy sometimes disrupts our comfort, church. I'll give you the plant to give you some shade. If you're not going to take advantage of it, I'm going to take it away. See, when we want justice, God sends mercy. We're crying out for justice. They're all sinners down there in that Assyrian city of Nineveh. They're bad. And now they're all getting saved. Where's the justice in that? And that's why you went on the hill. There's no justice there, God. Our mindset may conflict with God's mission, church. Our mindset, that default, if I'm not going to change my mind, that could conflict with God's mission in your life. Jonah's story ends with God's question. The question is in Jonah 4:11. Should I not be concerned for the great city? God says, you're mad, but shouldn't I be concerned? There's 120,000 people in that wicked city. Shouldn't I be concerned? Right? There's 50,000 people in Canton lost. Should we be concerned? There's people in the surrounding suburbs. They're lost. Should we be concerned? Your friends and family, they're lost. Should we be concerned? That's what God's saying to us today, folks. God is asking, should you not be concerned? Shouldn't you be like, I got to make an impact? Or are we going to sit on the hill, look at the city, and say, yeah, that's enough. They're good. And I'm mad. There's no justice there. God wants us to change our mind today, church. God wants to reposition our thoughts today. As we wind up this series, I want you to walk out of here and say, I got to change my mind. I got this situation over here. I have not attended to that situation. God is saying, shouldn't you change your mind on that? Shouldn't you readjust your thought process? I think the house should be filled on Easter Sunday. Why? Because Cross Point Church says, I am concerned. I am changing my mind. I've got the metanoia, repentance in my heart and my head, and I'm going to change minds to do what? The Bible says to turn them around. I'm going to do it. I'm not sitting on the hillside anymore, Pastor. I'm going to go down, and I'm preaching to them. I'm going to make sure, and not only do they get saved, I'm going to minister to them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to give them the compassion and the mercy. I'm going to invite them to a journey night. I'm going to bring them in and give them a free meal. I'm going to do whatever I possibly can to impact their lives for heaven. Why? Because the mission of God is bigger than my attitude problem and my mood swings and my running away. I got to get out of here. No, God's calling us to be concerned. Church, before you leave today, turn off your device. I'm going to give you that opportunity. I'm going to give you the opportunity that God gave Jonah. You're sitting in the church today, much more comfortable than in the scorching sun on the side of a hill overlooking a city. You're watching from home or wherever on a device that you were blessed with to watch. God's going to change your mind today because there's something in your life that God wants you to change. The biggest change is your repentance, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that in a second. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do the metanoia of repentance. Change my mind. See, some of you are on a pathway, and you're just saying, I'm holding that sign. I'm not following Jesus. Prove me wrong. Change my mind. I believe the Holy Spirit is touching you today, changing your mind. Because there's a path over here that's a whole lot better than the path you're on, but you don't get to the path over here because you won't change your mind. Shouldn't I be concerned? Is the question to the pastor today. I am concerned. That's why we're to preach it today and change your mind. Right? Church, it's never too late to do what you should have done. It is never too late to do what you should have done. But to do what you should have done, whatever that is, whatever God is speaking to you today, whatever that is, you have to make change of mind somewhere. It's never too late. Pastor, I'm too old. Change my mind. God doesn't want to use me. Change my mind. I'm set in my ways. Change my mind. Well, God's going to take you. He's going to ask you to change your mind. Church, are you open to that today? I want you to bow your hearts right now. Bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're watching online today, I believe you can change your mind. I just believe God is speaking to this church. As I wrap up this series, God's going to move many of us to change something. But the very first change, the Bible says, is what Jesus started the ministry on. And it says, repent. Change the way you think. Turn your life around. If that is you today, I want to pray for you before you leave. You're not coming down front today. I'm not going to run up to you and call you out. I'm just going to pray over you. I'm just going to ask that you raise your hand if that is you today and you're going to repent and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm going to change today. If that is you, just raise your hand up. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you for those hands. All those hands. Thank you. Anybody else? I see the 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 hands. Thank you. Thank you very much for that hand. Is there anybody else? There's 10 hands. Is there any? I see the hand in the back. Thank you so much. Is there anybody else? That metanoia. I'm going to change my mind. I see your hand down here in the front. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to pray for that. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you. I see the hand in the back. Thank you so much. If you're watching online, you can raise your hand. You can hit the button right on your device. Hit that hand. Clap. You know, tell the pastor that's the worship host, the host that's watching you today, just let them know that you're changing your mind today too. You can hit that button right now. If you're watching on Facebook, if you're watching on YouTube, if you're hearing the podcast, however, you can change your mind just like we're doing here. Is there anybody else? Pastor, I'm repenting. I want the metanoia to change my mind power in my life. I want to feel it, see it. I want God to deliver it to me. But I'm going to relent and say, I'm changing today. Is there anybody else? For the rest of us here today, as we do many times at Cross Point Church, we're going to make a commitment. The year of impact. The impact is not only personal impact, which we talked about many times. It's impact outside of us, our friends, our family, our community, our school, our work, anywhere. You impact people every single day of your life, but you got to have a mind change, a mindset change. That they're all worthy of you reaching them. They're all worthy. They're all in the city of Nineveh, and they need you as their personal pastor and preacher to come. Aren't they worthy? Aren't they worthy? If you're going to make a commitment today to change your mind, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Right now, slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for all of you corporately. If that's you, I'm going to change my mind, Pastor. That's me right here. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to do it different. I'm going to reach somebody, change something. If it makes me uncomfortable, God's going to disrupt me and disrupt you a little bit today. And that's okay, because you're never going to get on the path unless you raise your hand and say, I am worthy and willing. I am worthy. Thank you for those hands. Is there anybody else? Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray for those that raise their hand and said, I'm repenting. I want a change of mind. Lord God, you saw the many hands that went up in Cross Point Church today, even the ones that were online. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that you honor them. I pray, Lord God, that you touch them. I continue to pray daily, Lord God, that you will continue to transition them, Lord God. They've got something that they've got to do, but Lord God, they did the biggest thing they could have ever done. They changed their mind. They turned around. It's a metanoia change. Father God, you gave it to us. Jesus preached it to us. And Lord God, I thank you that at Cross Point Church today, on March 30th of 2025, we've got people saying, I still want that change in my life. That repentance. Lord God, thank you for those hands. Lord God, for the hands that were raised. They made a commitment to heaven. They said, heaven, see my hand. I don't care if the pastor sees it. I want heaven to see it. I'm going to make a commitment. There's places I got to go, things I got to do. I've got to have a default mindset change. I've got to go out and change my thought process. There are people out there that are worthy of your love and intervention in their life. And I am the one. I am the Peter that has been called to the Gentiles. I am the one that you have given the power to do it. I commit to you as I raise my hand, even if I didn't. I pray for them, Lord God. Father God, change Cross Point Church, Lord. Let us be concerned. You were concerned of 120,000 in Nineveh and the millions upon billions of other people you are always concerned about, but it's us that need to reach them through the power of your Spirit. Lord God, those people that committed, including me, Lord God, blaze the path in front of us, Lord, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Church, stand with me today. You've got a mandate of change that your pastor has given you today.
And I believe that you're going to rise to the occasion. I believe that there's going to be a transformation that goes on. I believe that God's going to take you from where you're at to where you need to be. So that means we've got to leave this church, shut off that device, and we've got to rejoice in the fact that God is making a change of our mindset. Give Him praise, church. Let's do this.
I will rejoice.